Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
That is too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
This is a puck.
Hump.
I love BJ's Pab Thwabby.
Pee-pee Herder.
Blood Puddle.
Fur Circus.
Steven Ricker's Testicles.
D-Buddies.
Boom Chicka Wow Wow.
No Touchy Place.
Beer.
Broken Penis.
Vitellary Filipula.
Filipuli.
Filipalapala.
Wow, 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And here we are on 96.9 FM, the amusement park, on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Getting a little chilly, though, but that's okay because Michael Shockley is here to warm us all up and make us feel all tingly inside. Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com, arms open wide to embrace you to his Iceman Insight bosom. Michael, how are you doing today?
You just quoted Terry Figarelli.
I did. It's because he's on my show. It's because he shows up to every show. So he's rubbing off on me.
Yeah.
I have to grow my mustache back.
Ugh.
Do you want to tell our listening audience, our special guest for this evening?
Do I have to use bosom?
No.
That Please might cross a line. Here in the studio with us, it's not John Peterson this week.
No, it isn't.
No, here on the John Peterson show that I'm filling in for him.
That was last week's shtick.
Our special guest, dating back to early this season, she was the guest in a show that Iceman COO Jim Riggs called the best hockey interview that I have heard in my time in Evansville. Our guest this week is Iceman Director of Game Day Operations, Bridget McDonald, back for round two.
Hi.
Hey, Bridget, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
She's the star of the show.
See,
because he hasn't even talked to us since then.
See, yeah, Petey comes, and he's ready for more the next week. Bridget needed about a three-month break.
Yeah.
She had all that high praise. She could, she could just tell Petey, like, you're trying. Keep trying,
yeah.
little buck.
You're not to my level yet.
That's right. I did. I gave him a couple of tries, and he failed, so I'm back.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. I don't know. Jim's overly kind, I guess. But best hockey interview, not talking about hockey, maybe.
Well, but we even talked about it after the show. We go back 7-8 years to the start of this organization, the start of this team, Chip Rosetti, and the whole thing on the ice and off the ice. And we were surprised ourselves at the chemistry that the three of us had here with the microphone. So it's just, I think it's more that chemistry than anything else.
Yeah, it was fun. I had a good time.
Yeah. So where are we going with?
And for the kids in Evansville, chemistry is not what you use for meth. It's actual chemistry between people.
Yes. Good disclaimer there.
Just want to,
that's
other
all we
uses
need
for
is
that word.
Half of our podcast listeners going over to CVS getting Sudafed
exactly.
by the bucket loads.
Stick around. So, because of that chemistry, we wanted to have Bridget back, and we'll talk a little bit
well,
for a few
minutes.
Well,
and because of that chemistry, we only got through the first half of the promotional calendar.
So we'll talk for a few minutes about the promotions for the rest of the season, and then we're just going to, unscripted, just sit and wax nostalgic for a while about the good old days, because we all three have been with this team since the good old days.
The good old days.
But we'll begin with the home game promotions. This coming weekend, Pink the Rink weekend, one of the big weekends of the year. Friday night after the game, fans can pay, is it $5 to Susan G. Komen and paint names on the ice after. And then Saturday, that ice will still be pink with all the names.
Yep.
And special jerseys both nights.
Both nights.
And then auctioned after Saturday's game.
So we've kind of turned it into an entire weekend promotion. So with the ice painting going on Friday nights, $5 per name. Money goes straight to Susan G. Komen. So after the game, we'll go down there, paint some names, paint some pretty ribbons and flowers and whatever you want. And then coming back Saturday night, the guys will be playing on that ice and specialty jerseys both nights, which are kind of cool. They're black and like hot pink.
Nice.
So they're a really nice jersey. So I'm looking forward to seeing them.
So we talked about this promotion a little bit the last time you were on the show. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how last year you didn't really know how many people were going to do it and if you were going to have to go out there and just paint a bunch of extra names on yourself.
Yeah.
I did not stick around last year because the toddler was ready to go home. But how long did it take? How late into the evening after the game were people out there painting?
I want to say that we were probably out there a good hour and a half after the game, I think. So,
and part of that was it was an amazing success. The whole ice was painted up. Mm-hmm. It looked awesome and everything else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you had no idea whether it was going to be 5 or 500, and it was more towards the 500.
Yeah.
And, so.
And it was fun, and it was I was actually really surprised. I don't know if I said this the last time or not, how emotional it was for some people that were out there, and even myself. My grandma passed away from cancer when I was really, really young, and just painting her name out there, you know, it was just kind of an emotional experience that I wasn't expecting. And I know some actual survivors were out there and thought it was an emotional experience too. So it was a really fun time. It was really cool visual when you came in on Saturday and saw that. So I loved the promotion. I thought it was great.
I'm excited because my mom is a breast cancer survivor and my parents will be coming down from Indy this weekend. They're going to come to both games and we're going to go out and paint her name on the ice after Friday's game. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah,
Were you afraid last year though that you were going to run out of paint?
Yeah, actually, we kind of were now that I think about it. But it's kind of ridiculous because I wish I could remember the company's name right now. It's something ice. I know that's dumb because it's hockey, but Jet Ice, I believe, is the name.
I think so.
Yeah, they donated 7 gallons.
Really?
Yeah, and we only went through a gallon. So we still have 6 gallons at the office.
So there's plenty for this year.
Yeah, we were kind of nervous because we didn't know how it was going to go and how it was going to spread and stuff like that. But yeah, we were kind of nervous last year, but we have plenty left.
I can't believe. So all those names that were on the ice was just 1 gallon of paint?
Yeah, I think a gallon and a half, I think. But yeah.
Man, it looked like a lot more than that.
Yeah, it really did. But I mean, that stuff went on so well and it wasn't. Really
yeah, it's not
thick,
like it's absorbing into your plaster your drywall or
well yeah that's
like
true
that.
Yeah,
you don't need a lot
sitting, so only a gallon and a half
so how does the process go as far as removing it after Saturday's game?
I have no idea.
That's up to the fourth center to figure out.
I'm
guessing
a dry
hot
cut?
Water and scrape and that'll take care of most of it so.
I have no idea.
Probably a couple extra trips around with the Zamboni and that's about all you need.
Cool. So how's the crowd looking for both games this weekend?
We're a little light Friday, which is kind of typical. Our Friday night crowds are a little bit lower, but it's shaping up to be a really good night for us on Saturday. So we've got a lot of groups that are wanting to come out. It's shaping up. And, you know, as we get closer to the dates, I'm expecting those sales to go up too.
Well, and it's looking like a pretty decent weather weekend. Yeah. I'm talking 50s and sunny. So that'll be perfect for walk-up crowds.
Yep, absolutely.
Cool.
And do I see this right? Specialty jerseys both night? They're going to wear the same specialty jerseys?
Yep,
okay.
Same
and that's the black and hot pink.
Yes.
And then the auction is after Saturday.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. So John Peterson was on 2 weeks ago and talked about that. The painting's Friday night, auction Saturday night. Got to be there to paint on Friday night.
Right.
Have to be there for the auction on Saturday night.
Right. And we talked about that last time you were here. That's genius marketing. That if you want to actually see the name on the ice, you got to go to both games.
Absolutely. We even came up with a ticket package for that. So
really?
Yes. So for Friday night, well, actually for the whole weekend, you can get a ticket to both nights plus a name on the ice for $35.
Hey.
There you go.
Schmancy.
Look at that marketing.
This ain't Bridget's first rodeo. So we move on from Pink the Rink, and we asked about this last time you were here, and it was a big question mark, and it might still be. But Saturday, March 12th against Indy, according to the website, is baby races.
Yeah, we just got on our website this morning our registration for baby races. So basically it's going to be for kids 2 and under that are walking or crawling. So you go to the website, register. You have to specify which one they're doing. And then we'll get the kids out there on some carpet and have them race.
Waddle away.
Yeah. On carpet.
So, yeah, you'll have to check out Colorado's YouTube video of their baby races that they do every single year. They completely blow this out of the water. They do an amazing job. So I reached out to Colorado and was like, hey, how do you guys do this? And that's how it came back. So that's, we're going to try it and see how it goes. So it should be fun.
The idea sounds fun, but I shudder to think at what crazy costume Steven Rickard is going to pull out of his rear end to wear for this game.
I don't know. Give him some suggestions. I know you have them.
Brown khakis and an Iceman jersey.
Let's hope so, yes. I do not want to see Steven Rickard as Baby New Year or something like that.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
He won't do it.
I don't think fantastic is the correct F word for that.
Yeah. Oh, that would be foobar.
Yeah. That's a good one, yes. Can we say that?
Yes.
Okay. You say that as if you have experience with that word.
No, but I mean, it's just foobar.
Okay.
If someone wants to go look it up, what it means on...
That's
the
up to
the internet.
Them.
Yeah,
I will
if someone wants
that.
To pipe it up on the
NSFW, yes, pipe it up on the WW. TM, my mother.
I will be doing that.
Thursday, St. Patty's Day, March 17th. The Fort Wayne Comets come to town. Their last appearance at the Ford Center. Green ice. Is that still the plan?
It is. I just talked to the Ford Center actually this morning. They have the resin to do it. They just got to make sure they have the time because I think the Aces could possibly get the NIT tournament here. So it's going to, I think, depend on that if they can get the ice ready.
So green ice, question mark.
Question mark. Hopefully. I'm not going to say yes, but I have high hopes.
Gotcha. And if it doesn't happen, then the game will take place on, wait for it, white ice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That's special.
Nice ice.
It is.
Sorry. Just trying to stick with the promotional theme. Boom. The big question is, how do you go to work on Friday morning?
After St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, which means you can't do your traditional. Our tradition is Boondock Saints and Irish car bombs.
Of course.
So this means you're not even starting till 10 o'clock on the whole second half of the St. Patty's Day.
So
then you got to be at work at 7 a.m.
What you're saying is Friday, March 18th should be penciled in as a vacation day.
Yeah.
National holiday.
National sick day.
It's like the day after Thanksgiving.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's what happens when St. Patty's Day falls on a Thursday.
You got Black Friday and Puke Friday.
So moving on, April Fool's Day, Friday, April 1st, against the Cincinnati Toilet Bowls Autism Awareness Night. Do we have any more details about what's going to take place that evening?
As of right now, I think we have a giveaway. We just started working on that process right now as well. The ticket rep that was working with that, Lance, has moved on to another position, so somebody else has picked it up. So, yeah, we're working on it still.
Cool. Looking forward to that. And then...
Oh, hold on. Uh-oh. I have more details on the April 1st game.
Oh, really?
That is talked with Rick Llewellyn, and he says, quote, "I'm too busy at work to do an April Fool's Day thing." So, unquote. So, disappointing, but it does not look like there will be any... the best one, by far, the Evansville Thoroughbreds with the press release and everything else about offending that Eskimo community in Alaska and the drama that caused.
That caused some major, major drama.
Unbelievable. The phone calls, people coming into the headquarters to complain at Jennifer Clary, of all people. She has any control over any of this.
I just remember everybody coming in and we're like, where did you see this? Like, where is this posted at? We had no clue this was this had even happened, but man, did we get the backlash.
It was amazing. Ooh. So no Evansville Thoroughbred-esque April Fool's Day out of Rick Llewellyn this year.
Or
maybe it wasn't Rick that did that.
Or
maybe I wasn't supposed to say that.
Is he just telling you there's not going to be an April Fool's, so you'll be caught off guard by it? Because everyone expects it.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
You never know. You never know.
I don't know. I
stay tuned. Yep.
We tried to do an April Fool's a couple of years. This would have been a lot of years ago. It was when Todd Robinson was here.
Boo.
And we were wanting to do... in conjunction with Fort Wayne, we were going to do an April Fool's joke that we traded Todd Robinson for Calvin Chalk.
Oh,
yeah. And we were going to issue press releases for
jointly?
It and everything. Yeah, it was going to be And I don't, I think Fort Wayne said no. If I could remember correctly, I think Fort Wayne was like, nah, we're going to pass. And we're like, okay, well, it would have been fun.
If you wanted to do an April Fool's when Todd Robinson was here, you should have changed his jersey number to minus 19.
Oh, we could have. Yeah.
Yep. I was hanging out with a buddy in my garage. I don't know what he had on TV. He's got a TV in his garage. He's a techie dude. And there's an old commercial. And I'm like, oh, cool, an Iceman commercial. And it had Beaulieu and Robinson and Plante. It was for like TCMI.
TRCI.
The furnace company. And I'm like, oh, look at all these old guys. Jake Obermeyer. There's five of them. Beaulieu warming his hands and his gloves next to the furnace.
In full hockey gear.
So...
I still think my favorite commercial has been the one for I don't know who it is, Tri-State Athletic Club or whatever, where they're like in full pads working out and doing yoga and stuff.
Tri-State Athletic Club.
Yeah.
And Mike Clemente was doing the dancer pose and the goalie equipment. So
that's a good one.
All right, back on topic here. We're not supposed to be waxing nostalgic yet.
Sorry.
So and finally, Saturday, April 2nd against the Tulsa Oilers, the home finale, fan appreciation night, the superstars, the youth stick giveaway, all kinds of good stuff planned that night.
Yeah, it's
still a little ways off on your radar, I'm sure. But
yeah, we're going out with a bang, I guess, bringing in the superstars. So we've, I believe, discussed my feelings on the superstars the last time.
I believe that was when you intimated that Ron Geary has the entertainment.
I believe you
of a 5-year-old was it? Yeah, well, I think that
believe,
was the word.
I believe those were your words.
I don't know.
I just might have agreed.
It may be of an 8-year-old girl because we are going. There is no way we are missing the superstars. So
Ivy's got to see them.
Yeah, she loves them. Absolutely. In fact, like after we did our show, she kept saying, because she was here in studio with us, she's like, Dad, we got to go to the game on Friday. I'm like, why? She's like, so I got tickets.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, the superstars aren't coming until the end of the year. She's like, oh, they're not here tonight. So that's all she talked about was, Dad, we got to get tickets. We got to go to the superstars are at the game tonight. I'm like, no. End of the year.
Is she going to turn into like a superstars groupie that you're going to go to their website and see everywhere they're touring?
No.
And travel
that. But when they come to town, it's a special deal. So.
Yeah, they are good at what they do. They really are. Yeah. I'm not trying to take away anything from what they've done. I've just seen them a lot.
Yep. Well, they filled
once
in a couple of times.
Twice.
They bailed us out a couple of times because of illnesses
the
of
Russian
other promotions.
Bar trio.
Yep.
Yes.
Steven Rickard's Russian girlfriend.
Yep. Yeah. Which I don't know if he ever got to meet her because I feel like every single time they're here, she's not the one that comes. So
such
I don't
a shame.
Know. I know. I need to find that out if he ever met her.
Why? Was it just not in the budget to bring them this year? That was a really cool act. I was really impressed.
Yeah, they were. I just think it just kind of ran its course. I felt kind of, you know, just same with the superstars. Like, just don't want to do the same thing all the time.
Yeah,
and they're
spice
really,
it up.
Yeah, and they're really expensive. It was in the budget. I just didn't know if it was worth it.
Yeah.
You know?
You got to figure out how much are we really going to get out of this?
Right.
It's cool, but
can
we spend our money on something else that's cool in a different way?
And that was Dave Christian, so kind of.
That was really neat.
That ended up being really cool. And, you know, and we wanted to bring in the Hanson brothers and, you know, just couldn't get them scheduled.
Yeah,
so.
we've been trying that for years and years.
Yep. So. Yeah, been.
Someday.
Yeah.
So... anywho, that's it for the home game promotions. That means we got a good 10-12 minutes left to just sit and wax nostalgic. So.
We do, and I want to intro it.
Oh, really? You have something prepared?
I do. This doesn't happen very often.
Don't make me emotional.
No, not emotional at all. But listening to the broadcast on Sunday afternoon and the Icemen get a great victory over Missouri 2-1
on an own goal.
When Missouri shoots the puck on a delayed penalty into their own net, and John Peterson said, I have never seen this in my broadcasting career. I've never seen this. I've never seen it either.
I haven't either.
So it made me think of all the crazy things that we have seen on the ice through all the years of the Icemen. Where does that rank? And so I was trying to think of other crazy things that we've seen on the ice. And of course, I think of Darren Side, when he coached the one game and the home and home against the Chi-Town Shooters and then played the next night and then attacked everybody and got to the point where he was out of just about every piece of jersey and equipment, still trying to get at
totally nude
Ryan
from the waist
Ford
up.
Or anyone else.
Ugh, that guy.
So that was one of the craziest things. Just some random thoughts about some of the things that you only you say I've never seen anything like that before, and you and it was in
Darren
our
side
team.
Himself is something.
Yeah,
I've
yeah,
never
him
seen
general.
Before.
Just yes. You don't. There's no nothing after his name. Just
nope.
His name. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Just wow, that guy.
He was. For that league, he was perfect. He was, yeah. It was like world wrestling, entertainment. He was the guy that you could hate, and he was all about self promotion and the team, and that team was tough to beat, and they came in with a chip on their shoulder, and they always did something to make you hate them that you would want to buy a ticket to come back just to yell at them or everyone else. Oh, exactly. There's always the, cowbell tossing incident.
Yes, Soupy's cowbell tossing
the,
incident.
The against the was it the Muskegon? What were that?
The
Northern
Madison
Michigan
Ice Muskies, I believe, was when that was, or it might have been the West Michigan Blizzard.
It was the West Michigan because it was Nigel Harlew.
Yes.
So So
there
was it was an emotional game.
There was the night when back to Chi-Town when Clay Lewis tried to fight the linesman.
Yeah, Adam Salaman.
That was
man.
Did you forget about that?
I did. I forgot about all this. I didn't think I forgot any of it, but
yeah, I remember that.
That gets remembered every year at our ref clinic.
Does
the guy,
it really?
Yes, because Jason, the instructor, he's way up in USA Hockey ref community, and he comes down and teaches our clinic every year. And every year starts with Adam, remember when you got beat up?
That is
and
awesome.
We got to watch the video, and yep, that's how we start every year at the ref clinic. So
that's pretty awesome.
Yep.
I'm sure that's a night he would prefer to forget.
Yep, and he tries to shrug it off, and he, of course, tell us about it, tell us about it. So he's got to tell it all over again.
Man.
When shooters attack.
Yes.
You know, going back to Darren's side, the crazy thing to me was, as insane as he was on the ice and the showman, I ended up writing a piece about it for IcemanManiacs.com. The one year that I was in charge of the team official website, I inherited the keys for a time to the old official email address that Chip had used.
Oh, wow.
And I went back and reread some insane stuff. But the crazy thing that I learned was in the whole nonsense when the Detroit Dragons folded and they were supposed to be here 2 days later.
Yep.
And we ended up playing, quote unquote, the Dragons.
Yeah.
The Dragons.
One of
which
those
still
infamous...
is alive. Yes. That's why we named our men's league team
the
Red
Dragons.
Dragons.
Yeah, right.
Was... Well, we're the Red Dragons.
So that whole kerfuffle, when I went back and I purposely, one of the things I tried to seek out was any emails that went back and forth about that. And lo and behold, our boy Chip was all gung-ho about playing a men's league team and the voice of reason throughout the league saying, no, this is ridiculous, we shouldn't do this, was Darren Side.
Yep.
He was the guy who was like, you know what, I have standards.
Yeah, right, of course, of all people.
Right.
And now I'm really sad to know that Darren and I have actually agreed on something because I remember when that was happening and Chip talking to me about it. And I was like, I don't think this is a good idea. Like the people are going to know, like they're going to literally be seeing their brother on the ice.
Yeah.
Like this makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, and it's not like it was men's league guys from Detroit.
Right.
It was local men's league guys.
I think
like
Brian
Vall.
Brian Vall was the
Bill
goalie.
Bill didn't play. I didn't play. Bill was concerned about the backlash and being a city employee. So he didn't play, but half the Red Dragons team now was playing against them.
And I do believe that is what got Kira Hurley in the Hall of Fame. Was it not that game where she scored that assist?
No, that
it
was
wasn't.
That was,
it was
the Valentine's Day game against the Chicago Blaze.
That's right.
Which was the team that was brought in to eventually replace
Detroit.
The Dragons.
Yeah.
Right.
By that
and,
Nat who used to play for us.
Yeah.
And him and his brother.
Yep.
They came
had
in out of
money.
Nowhere
yeah.
and they played nothing but road games and and that game they had like seven skaters. So they were
that's
just
right.
dog tired, and we destroyed them, and that's
and,
when Kira
got
our assist.
For it,
yeah,
though, so
yes, indeed.
Thank you.
So that it all ties together.
Where else you want to go? That was my intro piece.
I don't know.
So.
I like that because that is something that you think about. The 8 years that we've had Evansville Iceman hockey, there have been some bizarre things, and the own goal is a prime example that I've probably in person from mites on up to pros, I've probably watched 1,500, you know, hockey games in my life in person. And I've never seen an own goal. And I still haven't because it happened on the road.
Yeah.
But it is. There's some bizarre things that we've seen through the days. The fight with when James Brooks fought Jim Stussy at center ice.
Yeah.
When he finally got Stussy to fight,
yep.
The crowd went bonkers.
Absolutely insane.
There were a lot of, for those who haven't been around since the Swanner days, there were a lot of memories that involved the Chi-Town Shooters.
Yes, a ton. Well, and do you remember the All-Star game that we hosted?
Yes.
When we had several players arrested the night before.
Well, you know.
So we didn't even know if we would be able to hold the game because we didn't know if we had enough players to hold the game.
I think, yeah. That was an interesting weekend. I think my favorite part of that weekend was when they did like the shootout competition.
Yeah.
And Ryan Ford scored, and he goes back to center ice. He grabs the puck, goes back to center ice, takes a silver Sharpie out of his sock.
Yep.
Signs the puck and tosses it back into the goalie.
Yep.
That takes cojones.
Oh, Ryan.
But it was that was classic Ryan Ford.
Yeah,
that was classic Ryan Ford.
The man who wore jockey attire.
In public.
He would wear the jockey silks from the,
in public.
Yeah. Goodness gracious.
Yep.
So what about the, it's also a happy note, but a different kind of tone. What about the championship game? What are your recollections looking back in retrospect now of the night we won the championship?
My first thought,
are you going to cry now?
No, I'm not going to cry. I'm just trying to think of how to word it so it makes sense is that, you know, technically at that time, I was the only full-time employee because Chip was gone.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And
after
so,
the players held the team meeting, he said he goes or we go.
Greg Hart was technically the GM at the time.
And Greg was there, but they were working on getting those t-shirts made, like literally at that moment, getting those t-shirts made that we distributed. And we won the game and the game's over and like, all my coworkers, which is the players and coaching staff, were all the way over on the other bench celebrating. And I'm like, yay, I have no one around. Right. But then just kind of rushing out to the ice, you know, with Erica Coy and all that kind of stuff was a lot of fun. It was kind of, you know, I didn't personally score those goals that won that game or whatever, but it was just kind of a vindication, I guess, for everything that we had been through that season, you know, with Chip and just all that in itself, you know, so it was just kind of nice to
I think all of from volunteers to even just the fans who were at most or all of the games, I think there was very much an ownership of the team.
Yes,
it felt like a community team and it was such a close-knit group that I don't know that you could ever replicate the sentiment that was tied to that championship because of all the other stuff that happened in the periphery that maybe not even the on the ice stuff that built to it.
And there was so much momentum too. You know, Brian Vall built all those bleachers that went around the glass and on the backside and everything. And the last 12, 14 games, those seats, every seat was packed. Every night we squeezed 1,200, 1,500 in that building. And I think it was the same 12 and 1,500 because, you know, Brian Vall and I, and I had a host of color commentators during that time because my brother did it and Bill Nadeau and Adam Whitmore, everyone kind of pitched in because like you said, Brian wasn't even on the, he was still working at the casino.
Yeah.
And when he had to work, he couldn't do the radio. So,
but
it was the same at intermission. We would walk around and it was the same people sitting in the same seats every night.
Every game was a family reunion.
Yeah.
It really was. And you know, I kind of miss that and, you know, getting threatened to close our games down because we had too many people in there from the fire marshal. So the fire marshal would come in and be like, you can't let any more people in. But it was just a great atmosphere that the fans built around that game.
Well,
even in the CHL, though, you know, I mean, I remember thinking we're going to the CHL and we're playing at Swander. And I was like, I can't imagine the Fort Wayne Comets coming here and playing. But man, it had to be difficult for them to come into Swander and play with that crowd.
Oh yeah, it was crazy. There were nights when I mean that was when I was doing the music.
Yeah,
and trying to handle Swander's sometimes inadequate sound system that would cut out in the middle of a word for Stephen Rickard.
Yeah,
and there were nights when I would have to turn the volume literally all the way up to hear the music clearly over the fans.
Yeah,
it was that crazy. And I don't think we'll ever see that kind of atmosphere again. You know, we go back there for the Guns N' Roses games and things like that. And you can pack that place and still have a really good crowd in there, but it's not the same.
It's different.
Yeah.
It was everybody on board. About a minute and a half left, buddy. Where do you want to go?
I don't know that we can get any better than waxing about the old days and the championship and whatnot. So
he is Michael Shockley, the senior writer, the webmaster of IcemanManiacs.com, and he is on the show every time the show airs. Well, not really. That's a lie. This is the Iceman Insights segment on Amusement Park, 96.9 FM, WYIR. And joining us is Bridget McDonald, the Iceman Director of Game Day Operations. And again, let's get back to real work. But you said special ticket promotion for this weekend's game, the Pink the Rink weekend, Friday and Saturday night, $35 gets you a ticket to both games as well as painting a name on the ice. Is there any other work we have to cover for the Iceman?
No, I don't think so. Just, it's going to be a fun weekend. This weekend we're going to be raising a lot of money for Susan G. Komen. So we just want to see everybody out there in their pink.
Cool. And I just want to say, going back to the old days one last time, when, not many people probably know this, but when we were, I think it was the end of the second season or maybe early in the third season, Bridget McDonald was the first person to ever receive an award of excellence from the Iceman Maniacs Booster Club.
It's on my office wall.
And still to this day, the only person, because we never got around to doing it again. And for those who don't know what Bridget has meant to this franchise, that award, the fact that she's the only person who's ever been deemed worthy of that award should speak volumes. So if you know Bridget, and chances are if you're listening to this, you know who Bridget is. Keep that in mind the next time you run into her or you're not happy about the way something went in a game or whatever.
Yeah.
She's the all-time MVP of this franchise.
No doubt about it. Thank you for coming on, Bridget, and putting that best hockey interview ever on the line once again.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
This will be the best and the previous one will be the second best.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.